Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danker and Bharati Jagdish. It's now time for the Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang. And it looks like markets are back to turning a little more cautious this morning.
That's right. So continue that sluggish trade so far this month that we've been seeing. And I think it's a sign that investors are struggling to find any real direction. And they actually have more reason to worry these days.
Yeah, rising prices, huh? Chicken.
Inflation in general. Of course, chicken, which is Elliot's favourite thing. Coffee, electricity prices. Of course, don't forget the China crackdown on various sectors of the economy as well, right, Ryan?
And all the talk about all this feeds into tapering and FOMC's decision next week. To get a bigger picture, I've got Lee Kian Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management, TGIF. Lee Kian Soon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Good morning.
Hey, Kian Soon, glad to have you on. Now, let's talk about what's happening these days for the markets. There's more talk these days about a correction around the corner. Do you see that happening with the markets pushing up day every other day into a new record in recent weeks?
I think if you look at the global equities market, predominantly driven by the U.S. markets, you know, the U.S. markets have been performing very well, largely, you know, as a result of the economic recovery expected as they push towards, you know, reopening and with a high percentage of the population being vaccinated. We could see, you know, the recovery of the consumer spending, which rises and helps the economy, and the unemployment figures are also coming down. So I think all these are very positive signals, and that explains the very positive global market sentiments.
Hey, Kian Soon, talking about recovery, is it on track in the US looking at the latest initial jobless claims numbers at least?
I think this will be, as data keeps coming in, there will be a type of war, as in you will be moving three steps forward, two steps back. Sometimes we will get news about, you know, how Delta variant is spreading, continue to spread in the United States. And at the same time, you know, we are getting data that is coming in, which is positive. I think at the end of the day, as long as people are going back to work, as long as the economy is not in a lockdown situation, I would expect the markets to be stable and the unemployment numbers to actually come down to a more reasonable historical mean.
All right, Ken, so let's talk about where you think is a good place to park your money right now in the backdrop of how there's rising inflation, you know, high input costs and expenses for companies. Where is the best place, or how is the best way for investors to position themselves right now?
I think the concern from inflation is a bit of a key topic in this year, especially because, you know, the interest rates are ultra low and we have very loose monetary policy. But if you look at it, right, economies have been struggling to achieve inflation, I think, almost for the last 5 years. So that's why you see that the Fed, the central banks, were not too nervous. Even we do have some spikes in inflation this year. Having said so, you know, if this continues to all-time high for until the rest of the year, I'm sure the central banks will start to chew. All in all, central banks have enough ammunition. I guess, you know, at interest rate of 0%, you're not really worried. They could always move it up. But at the same time, I think the market is watching for these signals, because once you move out interest rates, you know, prices of bonds and prices of equities will start to adjust itself. So that explains the nervousness as well as their focus on inflation and other, you know, economic indicators that will affect ultimately the Fed policies.
Yeah, Kian Soon, talk about signals and indicators. What are you reading into what's happening in China? There's a crackdown across main industries, property, tech, gaming, education. Now, you run a fund investing in value stocks across Asia. Is there value in China right now?
There's definitely value in China, but if you look at the key sectors that they have imposed regulatory constraints, it happens to be the case where the international investors only focus on 6 to 10 stocks in China. And unfortunately, I would say, you know, the Ali, the Tencent, the New Oriental Education, as well as the property companies, all belongs to these sectors. Bearing in mind, China has actually 4,000 stocks listed, Hong Kong another 2,005. If you are not invested in these 6 to 10 stocks, right, actually there are a lot of value find. I mean, the market has corrected itself recently because of the key stocks that were affected by the regulatory limitations. But hey, there are a lot of other sectors that are not, you know, involved in this, and they're doing very well, actually.
What sectors or names do you have in mind when you think about what might be a good bargain right now?
If you look at the economic story, our focus last year was just more on domestic, China domestic companies selling consumer goods. But as the global economy recovers, the sectors that tend to do well are back to the export sectors, the sectors that actually supply key products. And with the supply chain glut, you bear in mind there might be a Christmas choke when the people are not going to get their toys or presents even in Europe or United States. So the companies that are doing export into globally from China and they are producing finished goods stands to gain upon economic recovery.
And Ken Soon, just to wrap things up, still on China, they have officially applied to join the CPTPP trade pact. It's a bit of a bid to boost regional ties. Is this a sign that we might be closer to seeing fewer trade disputes involving China, bearing in mind they now have a spat with Australia and Canada and a few other countries?
I think if you look at it historically, CPTPP was driven by President Obama in 2016, and in 2017, a new president, Donald Trump, pulled it out. Currently, it's an 11-nation deal. It's quite small. The third largest, you know, after RCEP, as well as US-Mexico-Canada deal. Mm. So it's good if a big country like China wants to join, because it definitely gives credibility to the CPTPP. And bearing in mind, this year, actually, Singapore will become the chair for CPTPP in the coming year. And being pro-trade, being a nation that depends on a lot of trade flows, I think it will be good, you know, that we chair this and discuss the inclusion of Britain, Thailand, as well as China, to join in this trade agreement program.
Okay, we'll see how that pans out. They will need the agreement of all 11 nations to join the CPTPP. We'll be chatting Lee Ken Soon. He is the CEO of Astro Asset Management. Ken Soon, thank you for your time today and have a good weekend in advance.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.